Good morning to the folks at Neely's Bend.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to be here and such a warm and friendly welcome. Every time I've ever visited here or had the pleasure to be here, it's always just been a wonderful experience. So thankful for the love and kind hearts. I know there's some that are sick, some that are back with us, and I'm so thankful for that. I was unaware of a few things, but now I've been made aware, and we will be praying for all those situations. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Chapter 27 is where we'll begin this morning. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Give you a moment to turn there. 27 verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Today, we're speaking on and talking about if today was your last day. That's kind of the topic, if you will. If today was your last day. Now, as we studied in Bible class this morning, we talked about the reality of the resurrection. And it was mentioned on life-changing events that we may have experienced as people. And one thing that was brought to mind was 9/11. On how that was something that was stapled in our minds. And it was a big change of reality. And it became very realistic of what had happened that day. And we talked about how the men at the time of the resurrection were in awe. And the people, the men and the women, were in awe on the reality of someone going through what Christ went through and then being raised from the dead. Well, that brings me to think more about today's lesson. About tomorrow. We noticed that after 9/11, it was recorded that many people acknowledged God more than they had in the past. Whether it was with church attendance or those possibly obeying the gospel or coming to want to study and learn more about Christ. There was a great awakening by that process, if you will. Now, we would never wish that anything like that would happen. But we talked about suffering and things becoming a reality. And that day people realized that tomorrow's not promised. So what did they do? A lot of people ran towards God in that moment because things became a reality. Life became a reality. And it's sad that it took that to do that. But we're back probably where we was, or if not in a different place today in our country where things have lost the reality. People have lost touch with reality and they live, like we said in class, in like a fairy tale. And people that see death and see harm and see things daily, they're looking for hope. They're looking for hope. But people that are living very cushioned lives and they don't see the need for life-changing moves towards God, they don't necessarily desire that hope because they feel like they're fine. So today is the reality of today being our last day, possibly. I'm sure a lot of people, their loved ones, didn't realize that those that suffered from the event in 9/11 did not realize that would be their last day. And it's sad that it happened that way. But something like that could happen to us today or tomorrow. So do not boast about tomorrow, the Bible says, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. I do want to thank our brother for teaching class this morning. Did a swell job, and I'm very thankful for him. I've gotten to know him personally a little bit and over the past year or so, and I really enjoy spending time and being around this brother. John Miller, correct?
Correct.
All right, good. I wanted to make sure I had that right. I thought I was. Very blessed to be here and be a part of that class this morning. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. While, before we begin there, though, we're going to read there. It's going to be the majority of our lesson today. I want us to talk about things that when you look at what people would say when they may not have much more time to live. Let's say that we were told, which we're not, and we're going to talk about that some today, when Jesus was coming back. We were given a time, whether it be today or tomorrow, would we behave differently? Would we fix a few things? Would we do some things different than what we're doing on the daily basis? Or if we were told that we had a terminal illness and that we were limited on time, whether it was a month, a week, or a year, what would we do different? When you kind of look in and research, you talk to people, you ask questions, or even Google what most people would do if they were told today was their last day, here are some of the things you get. Most of all, people say that they would spend quality time with loved ones. Quality time with loved ones. They would make amends with people that they have wronged or people that have wronged them. They would participate in their favorite activities and hobbies. They would go places they've always wanted to go but never had went. And they would do anything that was on their bucket list, things that they wanted to do that they've never done. And most of all, family and friends, once again, they would tell them how much they love them and how much they appreciate them. Which these are all great things, and we're going to discuss some of these things today. But I do believe personally that most of all, we need to be right with God. And sometimes being right with God is making amends in some of these situations with loved ones or friends or people that have wronged us or that we've wronged. So being right with God's not always necessarily obeying the gospel. Now, obeying the gospel doesn't stop when we're immersed into Christ. When we repent, when we confess after we've heard the word and we've been baptized and we're immersed into water, that's where we start. But obeying the gospel is a continual obedience. Everyday life, everyday walk as a Christian. Once we've been immersed and became a child of God, a Christian, then we are obeying the gospel. And sometimes obeying the gospel is having mercy and forgiveness on our fellow man, our neighbor, our brother, our sister, and making amends with these things. So those can go hand in hand. But I would say most assuredly, as people today and anytime, what we should always have in our forefront is, are we right with God according to the Scripture, not according to man? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 22, then He said, being Jesus, to His disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? See, we live in a time where there's a lot of anxiety. The way we live our lives now, and some of it's not necessarily by choice. In order for us to keep up with the hustle and bustle of the world, we are kind of driven in that sense too, as far as work and income and everyday life. We kind of got to roll with it, but it does cause a lot of anxiety. That alone, even those that are not necessarily concerned and deep concerned with material things. But then on top of that, with the hustle and the bustle and the deep concern and the desire for material things, the anxiety increases greatly. So we need to keep in mind that God's going to take care of the birds. If He takes care of them, He's going to take care of us. There's nothing wrong with eating good and dressing well. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think everybody enjoys a good meal or a good snack every now and then or all the time. I know that I've been blessed with food when I've left here. Hint, hint, at times. So, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't mind somebody that dresses well or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is our focus needs to be on things that are greater than those things. And those are the things of God. And really, our main focus should be the gospel, living the Christian life, and sharing that good news with others. Verse 25, and which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If that was the case, I'd be 10 foot tall. But that's not how it works. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? There are so many things that we worry about that are out of our control. I am guilty of this. Everything that I say today is a us and a we thing. But there are so many things that we think about that never even happen or probably are not going to happen. And we will worry ourselves sick over those. But there has to be a time when we just have to let everything go, do our part, work hard, be who we can be for God, and He will give the increase. He will do the rest. We have to trust Him. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Verse 27, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Put the church first, and the rest will be added. As our brother said this morning, he's still convinced that the Christian life is the best way of life. I've heard that by other brethren before, and I'm a firm believer in that. Even if we get to the end of our lives and we face judgment, and things aren't exactly like we thought they were going to be, this is still the best life you can live while you're here on earth. It's all going to be worth it. And our ultimate rest and peace is all in eternity in heaven. But even though we may suffer in certain ways, the suffering of not being a Christian and not drawing closer to God and not living a life of repentance is way worse than anything we can suffer as a Christian. Because why? Because we have hope and we have assurance in Christ. I've lived a life, I was raised in the church, and then there was a time where I was not a good fella. I was not faithful. And I'm telling you from personal experience that that was an awful time, a very dark place in my life. And even though sometimes we face hardships as Christians, we still have hope. We still have assurance. And this is a much more peaceful life. It will not be a perfect life here on earth, but it is a much better life to live here on earth as a Christian. And do not, let's see, verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God. Put the church first. Everything will take care of the rest. And all these things shall be added to you. The kingdom, we know, is the church here on earth. The kingdom here on earth is the church. Yes, the kingdom can be greater than the church. But the church is the kingdom. That's how we access the kingdom while we're here on earth. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants us to have it. He wants us to be a part. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He wants mankind to enjoy the spiritual blessings that we have through the kingdom and being a child of God. But do we want God? Do we want those things? Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. We need to be focused on spiritual things. These things here on earth, they will pass. But our focus should be on what we have been putting up and storing up, spiritually speaking, for God in heaven in our eternity. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If our things are set on spiritual things, on heavenly things, our behavior and our heart will show. And the things that come out of our mouth will show what our desire is. Yes, we will make mistakes, but our heart will show and be genuine that we are concerned about heavenly matters and spiritual things. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. As surely I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so blessed, are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of the food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink, and to be drunk. First of all, we must realize that the Lord is not slack, as some count slackness. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He's trying to give everybody an opportunity to come to Him. It's not His desire that people are punished or to bring down wrath of eternal judgment and punishment upon anyone. But He's gave us a gift, His Son, and He wants us to be a part of that. He's given it to us, but we must receive that gift, the gift of grace through faith. We must receive it. We must be receptive of it. Verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. If we're living a life thinking that we got more time and that he's delaying his coming, we don't know when he's coming. And we're, you know, living an earthly life, being merry and taking part of worldly things, thinking that we got more time to make things right before we pass, whether it be with loved ones or our behaviors or our habits or our actions, we're lying to ourselves. The Bible, the Scripture tells us right here in black and white truth that we don't know about tomorrow. We do not always know if we're going to have tomorrow. We have to live every day like it's our last. Today is the day of salvation. In verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things, committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Now, some people may say, well, the less I study and the less I know, I won't be punished as much. Well, I don't believe that's how it works. I believe we have a responsibility to learn and to grow so that we can share with others, because either way, we're going to have to face that. If we neglected the revealed truth that's been put before us, we're so blessed to have the Bible right at our fingertips anytime we want it. We have a due diligence to study that Word and to draw closer to God. But when we know better and we still commit these things, that's really not good, folks. We've got to do things when we know and we're aware of our issues and our problems and our wrongs and our transgressions. We got to make them right. Let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4, 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. This is trusting in yourselves, like we read in Jeremiah earlier. Trusting in ourselves and not in God. Boasting in our own arrogance. Oh, we'll take care of that tomorrow. We'll meet you. We'll do this tomorrow. We'll handle that. No, if there's something we need to take care of, we've got to do it today. Therefore, verse 17, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There's some sins that we commit in ignorance. There's times that we don't even realize we're doing anything wrong. But at that point when we realize that we're wrong, we've got to try to fix it. Maybe you realize you were wrong sometime in the past. Maybe you realize currently you're wrong. How do we know? How do we discern between good and evil? How do we know when we're wrong? We read the Word of God. We read the Bible. That's how we know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. That's how we are made aware of our transgressions, whether it's against man or against God. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Here's another way to look at this. Me and my wife were talking previously, and, you know, what would we do if we knew that we were promised tomorrow? Would we put things off? That's another way to look at it. If today was your last day, would you make things right? But if you knew you had tomorrow, would you put it off till tomorrow? I think that's the mindset that we have as humans. We've got tomorrow. We'll make that right eventually. We'll fix those things tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. But it's clear in the Word of God that we're not promised tomorrow. I'm here to ask you today, are there things that you need to make right with God? Maybe you've had squabbles with family, with friends, with co-workers, with your own brethren, your brothers and your sisters. There's things that are weighing on you that you need to make right. I beg you and I plead with you to make those right. Because you may be causing someone else to suffer, but I guarantee you, if there's things that you're in control of and you can help a situation, you're causing yourself to suffer by holding those things in and harboring those things. Make them right. Especially if it stands in between you and the Word of God and the things you've been taught and what God expects of us as Christians. If it's going to cause an issue with that, we need to make that right. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never put Christ on in baptism. You've never had your sins washed away. You believe, but your belief has not drove you to obedience. Your faith has no works. We're going to talk about that this evening, faith and works. You've never obeyed the gospel. You've never been immersed. You've never put that old man of sin to death, buried in a watery grave of baptism and resurrected in the newness of life. You've never made that right. You thought maybe you had tomorrow, or you weren't convinced that it was necessary. Well, I'm telling you now that God tells us what we need to do. And let's try to do everything we can to possibly please Him and be right with God. Christ died and was buried and resurrected for us. And He wants us to do the same for Him through a death, burial, and resurrection baptism. We can't crucify ourselves and save the world like Christ did, but we can crucify ourselves for Christ so that we may be saved from our sin. If you're here today and you need to be restored, you need to repent publicly. I don't know your needs. You know what you need to do to make things right. If today was your last day, is there anything you need to get right with God? Do you need to become a Christian? Do you need to obey the gospel? Please come as we stand and as we sing.